Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Welcome back to our listeners as we pick up where we left off from our interview with Richard Hardy. And as we continue today with part two, Jack Bells has the floor and the questions to lead off. And thanks again. And Jack, you're on now.
So two things would come to my mind as a parent. The first would be, how do you recruit your teachers?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have opportunities to recruit nationwide. We're members of the Association of Christian Schools International. We're also accredited through that agency, as well as the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools. So we have tools in place or vehicles to be able to get to teachers across the country and even in different parts of the world if they're interested in coming to the States to teach. And but most of that is done through word of mouth. A school like ours is very appealing for teachers, especially if they've been teaching in a tough school situation. We just started a new teacher that came to us from a local school. She just started this week as we started our second semester, and she replaced a teacher who had to move away due to her husband's job. But she's having the time of her life in her first few days here, where she has freedom to share her faith and not be as encumbered with discipline issues and that kind of thing. So finding teachers is not difficult for us. Even though there's a teacher shortage across the country, Calvary is a great destination for teachers. So it's mostly through word of mouth.
I would also assume that when you have your interview, that you nail down pretty much what their doctrinal view is?
Absolutely. There's kind of a joke, when you complete our application, you really have to desire a job here just to complete the application, because it's very lengthy in the application. Before we even sit down with you, you're sharing with us your personal testimony of faith in Christ and your belief system that's in place. And so before you sit down with us, we have a good idea of who you are, but then certainly we take it to the next level and learning more about our candidates. And yeah, I tell parents, when you drop your children off in the morning and leave them here for 6, 7, 8 hours a day more if they're involved in sports and so forth, you can be confident that your child's teachers and leaders love the Lord. You might not agree with them about everything they do during that day, but you can be confident that they know and love the Lord and desire to see your kids know the Lord as well.
And the second thing would be the cost.
Yes.
So we want our listeners to know the opportunities that are here and what we understand that the cost is not going to be firm and in concrete. It's going to be static like everything else from time to time. But if we had a prospective parent who was looking at Calvary, what would they be looking at, more or less, ballpark, and what kind of help do you offer?
Sure. Yeah, well, a private Christian schooling is not free, and so our tuition range is anywhere from $8,000 to $11,000, depending upon grade level, and then there are opportunities for financial aid. We actually have a program that we call variable tuition, which enables families to receive assistance needed if they qualify. And you go through a qualification process very similar to what families do when they send their kids to college, to see how much you're eligible for And so we're glad to have a lot of families on financial assistance here at the school. And so I'd say it's really important not to let the tuition number keep you from calling us and checking in to what we do. And it would be well worth your time to learn how it just might be possible for you and your family to be a part of Calvary Day School.
I know technology changes, knowledge changes over the years. When I was teaching in higher education, we had to submit a professional development plan every year to our administrators to let them know what we were doing to maintain current knowledge and improve our skills in technology. How does that work in at the high school level to get your faculty member to increase their knowledge and skills over time?
Yeah, not just in high school, but across the board. All of our teachers are involved in professional development. They come to us as certified teachers and who have received proper training to be able to step in the classroom to teach. They're educational professionals, and they're expected to be able to step in the classroom and successfully lead students. As part of that is ongoing development or continuing education. And so that takes place on and off campus throughout the year. We bring in teachers to lead sessions. Our teachers participate in conferences on and off campus throughout the year. So as you know, having been a teacher yourself, it's required to be able to stay on top of things and learn what the latest methodologies and areas of expertise that are there. So we keep our teachers on top of that, and that's part of our accreditation process. We're fully accredited, as I mentioned earlier, and so part of our plan is having teachers who are well prepared to teach and lead students.
Based on your experience regarding homeschoolers, there's a lot of homeschoolers going on now. Is there a certain point that they would be good to transition maybe over to a Christian school? And I guess would the parent be able to think, maybe recognize that so that they don't continue to maybe pull the child down instead of making sure they advance?
Right. I think tomorrow would be a good day to transition to Calvary Day School. But no, there are so many homeschoolers now, and as a matter of fact, in the state of North Carolina, the number of homeschool students now outnumbers the number of all private school students in the state and every school combined. So there are a lot of homeschools, and a lot of folks are doing a great job with that. And it used to be that it was very popular if you homeschooled just to do that in the early years, and then maybe in middle or high school to put your child, because parents didn't feel confident teaching physics or calculus or something like that. And but there are a lot of resources for homeschoolers now that are online and co-ops that they can participate in. But I would say we see still coming into high school probably as a transition time for homeschool families to come in to be a part of what we're doing. So we're certainly not against homeschooling if that's being done well, and we're glad to have high school students transition, or across the board homeschool students transition into our school.
What is your vision for the current Calvary High School or current Calvary School here that you see over the next 5-10 years?
Right. Well, it's just most important to me that we're faithful to our mission. Anybody who's studied education knows that you can look at the Ivy League schools, for example. Most of them were started with very specific Christian purposes, even ministry purposes in mind. And we see what's happened with Ivy League schools. We've even seen it within our Southern Baptist colleges and universities. And I'm a graduate of one of those and love my college. But unfortunately, many of our Southern Baptist schools have moved away. There was mission drift that took place, and they're far from where they started initially, where it's really where academic is elevated at the expense of Christian commitment and commitment to Scripture. And we just believe that's not necessary. We believe that you can have a great commitment to Scripture and a great commitment to academic excellence as well, and that's really what God would want and desire. So we want to be true to our mission, and our mission here at Calvary Day School is to partner with parents to equip students to think, learn, and live from a biblical worldview by integrating God's Word into all aspects of life so that students can impact the world for Christ. And so you heard Bible, you heard parents, you heard impacting the world. That's what we want to do and do well. We have students that are graduating and going to some of the most prestigious schools across the country. We have a Moorhead Scholar at UNC this year who graduated with us last year. We have students, I could just go on, at Cal Berkeley and Wake Forest, Davidson, Duke University, just a graduate 2 years ago that's at Duke. And then we have students at schools, specifically Christian-based schools, Liberty University, College at Southeastern, Anderson University, Gardner-Webb. And so we offer a high-quality academic program and believe that's what we're called to do, but to do so by remaining true to the mission. You often hear around our school the term kingdom education. Kingdom education is defined as the lifelong, Bible-based, Christ-centered process of leading a student to Christ, building that student up in Christ, and equipping that student to serve Christ. And that's what we want to do. Day in and day out in the classroom, chapel services. Next week we'll have a chapel service where we'll be baptizing students who've come to know Christ this year. And what a great privilege to do that at school. And so again, we want to be true to our mission. And not everybody that comes here is a Christian. Not every student that graduates is. But many are. And what we have the opportunity to do is to pour God's Word into their lives each day and to challenge them from the Word of God and God's call upon their life, His desire to be in relationship. So what's our vision is to fulfill our mission, and certainly we want to grow. We always want to reach more students. This year, we reached the highest enrollment in the history of Calvary Day School. And
how many is that?
760 students. And so we would love to see that go above 800 and very soon and continue to grow as the Lord would lead us. And so be faithful to our mission and continue to reach more people in Christian education.
So what do you see as the calendar has now turned to 2020? What do you see as a couple of really tough challenges for people in Christian education, particularly as it relates to grades 1 through 12?
Well, again, as we mentioned earlier, our culture is much different today than it was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and even 10 years ago. The parents of children, millennial parents, is what they're called right now, very different experiences. They're looking for different things. There's a real emphasis on a return on investment, if you will. Parents are looking to see, is this really going to benefit my child? Big challenges relate to new ways to teach and reach kids. Just every day in the classroom. We all know what we see every day, what's happening with technology. And thinking of how can we be more and more relevant and in reaching kids in this day and time, which is much different than when I was growing up and being in school, yet still remain committed to high quality and strong commitment to our biblical foundation. So working with parents who have different perspectives on what they'd like to see and staying relevant. You have to stay relevant. You know, we're a business. And people don't like to think about that with a Christian school, but people pay for a product. That product is their child's education, and we have to do things well. And so we have to be competitive in the marketplace And it's not just a good, nice place to come. It has to be a place that's really growing and changing and adapting to be effective in this day and time.
Yeah, I mentioned that I'll be going to Ukraine to teach a marketing class. And the simplest definition of marketing is to find a need and fill it. So if we're talking about Christian education, you know, you found the need. So the next step is, how do you fill that need? So how does a headmaster, or how does Calvary Day School reach out into the community? So if this were an infomercial and you were getting ready to say, "Hello, audience, this is Richard Hardy," what would you tell the community to encourage them to, this is the only place that they should really send their child to school?
Well, I would just let folks know that we're a place that's committed to doing things well, and to do so in a setting that's very much committed to God's Word. And we're continually learning. As a matter of fact, I met with my leadership team this morning. We're going through a book called Mind Shift, and it's really taking a fresh look at what does education look like today, and how does that inform our decisions as related to what we do here on campus every day. And I would want people to know that we're learning and we're growing as a school, and there's no school that has everything perfectly mastered, and but we realize that we have to be committed to learning and adjusting to reach students today and to best prepare them for the future. And it's amazing the opportunities that are in front of our students. And if you want a place that's committed to doing things well and that's committed to honoring the Lord and loving students and walking with them through probably the most challenging days that our country's known, the toughest time to grow up in maybe, then Calvary's a place you want to check out, because we enjoy working with students every day and teaching and training them from this perspective.
Well, from a host, I can also add that my wife taught here for 10 years.
Great.
And that there is no better Christian school in our community than Calvary Day School. So if someone in the community wanted to contribute to the day school, how would they go about contributing to the day school? Would they log on to your website, or should they contact Richard Hardy? What should a contributor do?
Always contact me if they want to give. But certainly you can go to our website, which is calvaryday.school. Again, that's calvaryday.school. And or call the school and call our school offices and ask for the development department. And that would be the place to be able to connect in. We're just blessed. We've had wonderful giving in our school over the last several years. And that's putting us in a good position to be able to add programming and add positions. And we'd love to see those numbers continue to grow. And we're very thankful for how giving has occurred over the last few years here on campus. So please contact us if you'd like to give. And you can always ask for me personally when you'd like to do that.
And next year you're going to reach the 1,000 mark?
No.
It'll
take us a while to get there. We're at 760 now. And I certainly want to see that grow, but I won't be quite that ambitious. God can do what he wants,
yeah.
So if
he chooses
to do that, we'll celebrate it.
Regarding parents, have you seen influence from their kids being in school here, reflecting back to the parents and them becoming maybe involved in the church or getting saved?
Sure, absolutely. There are a lot of stories like that, and we know from Scripture that God uses children to reach people. And so again, you do not have to be a believer to have your kids here. Now most, 90%+ of our families would identify as Christian or have some type of relationship with the church. But what every family does has to do is to agree to support our mission, our purpose, our statement of faith. And we need to be on the same page there in order to be able to partner with parents and working together every day. So yes, there are definitely stories. I have good friends who've come to know Christ through their child being in Christian school, and there are stories like that here at Calvary as well.
So as it relates to governmental regulations, and we've seen and we've discussed and touched on the spiraling down of our society. So for a school like this, or any school, accreditation is very important.
Yes.
Do you see challenges in that area as far as maintaining your accreditation, and what that might come down the line is saying, look, if you're going to maintain your accreditation, Calvary Day School, you're going to have to teach this about this. Do you see a big challenge like that in the near future? Or?
Well, I would say those challenges have always been there, and they certainly do not decrease as we move forward. They increase in probability. And fortunately, there's still protections in place for Christian schools to be able to run their schools from biblical principles and foundations. So yes, I would say it's a concern always, and
something that the people of God should be taking to heart,
right,
and be praying about.
Absolutely.
And when the opportunity arises, cast their vote for the candidate who has our interest at heart.
Absolutely, absolutely. We need the support on the political, governmental levels to be able to help us to continue to do what we do. And there are certainly those that have an agenda that would love to see us not be able to teach from a biblical perspective in our schools. And so we can't sit idly by and assume that that's always going to be protected. And we're grateful for the opportunity to do it freely now. And certainly are prayerful that that will continue in the days and years ahead.
I know as you think about academic content, and you think about academic content and textbooks in the public schools, you know, many of the public school textbooks may not emphasize the genocides that took place during World War II. Many of the textbooks play up evolution. What kind of process is involved in faculty here reviewing textbooks that have academic content that is current to the mission and values of the school?
Well, there are a lot of wonderful Christian publishers out there. I say a lot, but not a lot. But there's some that do a great job in providing textbooks for Christian schools. And in our school, we use a combination. We use some books that come from Christian publishers, some that come from secular publishers. And the key for us is the teacher and the curriculum. And so the textbook does not drive our teaching. The curriculum that we write as a private school does. And teachers are the gatekeepers to make sure that we're presenting from a biblical world. Our highest achieving students in the upper school are involved in advanced placement courses. Well, advanced placement courses, as you're probably aware, are not written from a Christian perspective or Christian worldview, but our teachers, who are Christians, standing before students teaching, are able to present and teach strong academic content from a biblical perspective and prepare kids for the rigors that they find in advanced placement courses and that they'll see in college as well. So we have a textbook rotation cycle here. Every 5 years we're revisiting a text to determine, do we stay with this or do we consider something else that's on the market? And so there's a systematic process in place. And we're not averse to using secular publishers, but we will teach and present from a biblical perspective.
Well, it's good to hear that your instructors have academic freedom, mm-hmm, and a broad range to choose the content,
right,
that they need for their class, because they're the teachers and they know what their students need,
right,
rather than just forcing, you know, a book on them from the administration side saying, this is what you've got to teach.
Right.
So I respect the fact that you give your faculty the academic freedom to have input in selection of,
absolutely,
academic
content. They're a huge part of the process and being able to make those decisions.
Yeah.
We talked about just a minute ago here about the attack from possibly from the government. What other areas of attack that come onto the Christian school? I don't know that drugs might be a problem. Or what other things that, particularly I'm saying this for people to pray about, but to inform them of what's going on.
All of the above. I mean, I've told parents this for years. We're not immune in the Christian school to any challenge, problem that you might see in any other school in our community. Just think about our churches. You know, our people who walk into church on Sundays have great challenges, great problems, great struggles. And the same thing happens when they come into schools. There are broken homes. Yeah. There certainly is the impact of drugs and pornography, which is so prevalent. You know, our kids are growing up with technology. It's so different from what it was back in the day. And those are not checked at the door when you walk into school each day. The privilege we have in the Christian school is, again, to come alongside students, to love them with the love of Christ, to point them to God's truth. And when situations do arise with any of the things that we've mentioned, to have the opportunity to work with students, hopefully, and when we can. Sometimes there are things that occur and the student loses a privilege to be able to be in a school like ours or in other schools. But it's always our desire to help them and to work with them. So we're grateful to have minimal problems here from a discipline standpoint, but we have them because we have people here. And when you have people, then you're going to have issues to deal with. And we have fallible teachers and heads of schools and leaders that are working with students each day, but we have a great God and a commitment to His Word that guides us in what we do.
One more question. With the stock market going gangbusters right now and possibility of people giving that we just talked about, if somebody were to walk in here or different people or a total of it come in a fair amount of money, what things would you use the money for? Or what's your most pressing
needs? Highest priorities, yeah.
What's your pressing needs? Yeah.
Great question. We are blessed here. We have a wonderful facility. We have a lot of space that we can utilize. But if somebody came in here and just had the wonderful capacity to be able to help us in significant ways, we would expand our athletic facilities here on this campus. We would look to develop a fine arts auditorium, if you will. We have a worship center we can use now. We're so thankful for that. But it's a worship center. It's not designed for plays and that kind of thing and drama productions. And so those are two big things that I would say from a facility standpoint. We always are looking to expand our offerings. We have a strong STEM emphasis in our school right now, science, technology, engineering, and math, and to help fund some of those initiatives would be a great place to put those monies. And really, to get down to the bottom of it, to continue to better compensate teachers and staff who have given their lives to teaching students, and to we're thankful to pay a very competitive wage to our teachers. We'd love to do more. And I could see somebody coming in to give specific commitment to help grow that as well. I'm sure my teachers would love to hear that. And so those are just some of the things. Again, I can't say enough. We're grateful for Calvary Baptist Church, and obviously the vision for the school was birthed in this church through Dr. Quartz and others who were here at that time. And through the church, we have a wonderful place to do school every day. And so with that said, there are always improvements that can be made and upgrading to current facilities. And but if we were doing large facility enhancements, it would be in athletics and in the arts.
Well, on behalf of Alan Brown, Jack Bells, and myself, Richard, we just really want to thank you so much for allowing us to interview you today. And to our listeners, this is a wonderful golden opportunity for you to contribute to an educational process that connects children with higher education and academics. So when you get ready to make your donations for the year, Think about Calvary Day School. Look them up on the website. What was that again, Richard?
www.calvaryday.school. Calvaryday.school.
Okay. And I just can't wait for you to hear this podcast. And it's going to air about the time that you're going to start thinking about where your children are going to go to school next year. So this will be a great opportunity for you to consider Calvary Day School for your sons and your daughters to get the highest quality education and connected in a Christian environment for the future of our country and our world. So again, thank you all for listening.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.